Hello, this is Tawny Thompson.
And I'm Tony Cheek.
We thank you so much for joining us again here tonight.
TMP is a live streaming gaming group based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so if you want the full experience, please feel free to join us on YouTube or join us live on Twitch.
All of those details can be found in our episode description. Tonight, we will be playing our second arc of a game called Chill. Rob does a pretty good job of explaining that game in the actual live stream, so we'll leave it to him and we won't bore you here. Hope you enjoy.
Good evening, people of Earth. My name is Rob Whelan. I'm an author, game designer, and professional nerd. Darn, that would have been great thunder timing, though. I am the game master for the Theater of Mind Players, and we are here tonight to play Chill 3rd Edition. And not only that, we're going to be doing it during a thunderstorm here in scenic Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Spoopy.
I wish I could take credit for the rolls of thunder, but sadly we don't quite have the budget for that. With me, as always, are the Theater of the Mind players, which you can see at the table around me. We've got Daniel Levings, we've got Tony Cheek, we've got Ethan Anderson Eichstadt, and we've got Tawny Thompson. I'm soon only going to have to remember one of those two last names.
I'm keeping my
name. Oh, you dead.
You modern.
I can't take
you
people.
You and your desire to be your own person. We'd like to thank you all for spending your Sunday evening with us. We are playing Chill 3rd Edition here tonight. The monks are nice. And we hope that you enjoy our presentation. For those of you who are first-timing the stream, Theater of the Mind Players is a group of dedicated gamers who are a mixture of performers and gamers and all sorts of fun, wonderful people have come together, and we're going to be exploring a variety of different RPGs through our live stream. So we know that D&D is very, very popular, and we love it, but we also know there are a lot of really great other games out there, too, and we're going to be exploring those games as well. If you haven't already, if you go and check out our backlog, we did a fantastic run of Feng Shui 2 to sort of open up our stream, and we're about halfway through. This is the second of four episodes that we're going to be doing of Chill 3rd Edition, heading, of course, into the spookiest month, October. Is it not the spookiest month?
No.
All of us were like,
we just did an like a take to the camera.
You all were like surprised hamster.
We're all
a
bunch of assholes.
Right. Just... I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. So what we're going to be doing tonight is we're going to be playing Chill 3rd Edition, which for fans of shows like The X-Files or Supernatural, you're gonna have a ton of fun watching, because that's basically what it is. We're going to be exploring all sorts of creepy spaces. There's going to be a monster to hunt, and hopefully the players will escape with their lives and maybe learned a little bit something about love and the human condition. Let's go around the table and have our players introduce their characters. So basically what I want you guys to do is just do a short introduction of your character, kind of what they were before they joined the SAVE organization. SAVE is the group that hunts monsters, and why you ended up joining SAVE. So let's start with Tony to throw things off.
Hello, I'm Tony. My character's name is Nate Ellis. Basically, he was just a college student, but he was real friends with his professor, you know, the Doc Brown to his Marty, the Mr. Miyagi to his Daniel's son, and they went out to go check a... Shut up! And they went out and fuck off. Alright, so they went and found a werewolf den. Professor didn't get out alive. Nate did. Nate now works for SAVE, and he's been working there for a while.
Were they werewolves or werewolves? Sorry.
It's gonna be one of those nights, folks.
Who the hell is next?
Let's go to Ethan.
No one knows at this
point. So I am Ethan. My character is Sage Marlowe. He was an acting student and started a basically TV show.
The Monsterminators.
Where we teamed up and hunted fake monsters until we realized they weren't fake.
Not fake.
Alright, then I guess that leads into Tony's character.
My character is Clark Ashley. She was the camera person and editor to the Monsterminators. And yeah, we stumbled across something that was not so fake and really scary. And joined save.
Alright, and last but certainly not least...
My character is Billy Forrest. Billy likes is a simple person, likes a few things, most of them being guns, other types of guns, flannel.
Small guns.
And small guns. Big guns.
Well, I was gonna say, why do I see that?
Automatic guns.
I was gonna say it's like the Forrest Gump shrimp scene. It's like
gun salad.
Gun salad.
Gun salad. This raffle is mine. No. Before joining Save, Billy was an expert in breaking and entering. You know, kind of a freelance liaison. Very fancy. But got caught, and it was either go to high security prison or join Save. So.
Welcome to the club, buddy.
Here I am.
All right. So, these are the Envoys, as Save likes to call them. Save is the organization that people can join once they've survived an encounter with the evil supernatural forces that exist in the world. And if the what's going to happen is they're going to get a case. We're going to have them investigate that case. And then we're going to go from there. So, does anybody have any notes from last time that they want to share? Like, do you remember what the name of the bar is that is the...
The Haunt.
The Haunt?
God damn, I had my hand raised.
This isn't school, fool.
We explored the St. Virgilius Hospital, which was built in 1850 mm-hmm. and is owned by the Glorian Health Group.
Oh, yeah.
They're currently expanding.
Uh-huh.
The last remodel was in 1950.
Okay.
They removed the St. Paul's Church iconography at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we don't actually need the details from this case.
A dude died because of our negligence.
Don't say that out loud!
There was a weird, creepy baby monster.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about the,
The baby centipede?
Can we not talk about baby centipede?
The eye biter? Is
the eye biter!
Can we not? Because I don't need to have nightmares.
So, the chill, or the office that Save uses as a front here in Milwaukee is a bar called The Haunt, and it's a slightly tourist trappy speakeasy style bar. You get a lot of people who come through that just, you know, want to get spooky pictures taken with the skeleton in the front lobby and have no idea that there is an actual legitimate group of investigators behind that.
Because we sneaky like that.
But the way that you can tip off the members of Save to let them know that you are a potential client for their true services. Oh, yes, you raised your hand.
It's the quarter to three.
Is ordering a drink called the quarter to three. That's right. Silent food only, Danielle.
Have these mouth sounds, Rob. This is now an ASMR channel.
The quarter to three, which when that's the sign for the bartenders to come fetch one of the envoys to see the person who ordered it, because they've got a spooky story to tell, and that is exactly what happens on August 10th in the early afternoon, which normally ordering an alcoholic drink in the early afternoon is, you know, may be indicative of some sort of moral failing, but
in this case... Why are you looking at Billy, Rob?
I wasn't looking at Billy. But the person who's ordered that drink is a lanky man with thinning sandy hair and tired eyes and a rumpled dress shirt with an open collar. And he's actually drinking, like a lot of people order the drink, it gets put in front of them, and they sort of nervously look around and wait for whoever it is they're supposed to talk to, but he's actually sitting there and drinking. He's not chugging it, but he's definitely enjoying it. So which members of our which envoys are going to meet him? Is it going to be everybody? Is it going to be one person?
I mean, I think I would probably be drinking, so I'd already be down there. But it depends on if I give enough of a shit or if I would just wait for one of you guys and continue finishing my beer.
I feel like my guy's being nerdy up in the actual...
I'm probably tending bar.
Why don't you give me a perception check here?
Oh.
So how we do rolls for chill is they are percentile rolls. They have a certain number, and they want to roll underneath that number, and the more they roll underneath that number, the better they do. So what is your perception?
60.
Okay, so roll a perception for me, please.
All right. Oh, 7.
Nice.
All right, so that is a...
Colossal.
No, not colossal. That's a colossal success. It's what's called a high success, which means it's a success, but it's also better. So, what you recognize, I think because it's a high success, you actually recognize the person seated with the cord of the three. His name is Detective Don Hagen. Last time you saw him, he was a detective in the Milwaukee Police Department.
I'm sure he was very interested in me and all of my
probably
extracurricular.
But I'm going to say that because you got a high success, I don't think he's going to necessarily be immediately hostile towards you.
Good. Detective! Welcome to our lovely establishment.
Do I know you?
Nope. No, you do not. you got a special drink there. I mean, usually nobody drinks right now except for me, so
yeah, well, it's the kind of afternoon where I need a drink after the morning shift.
Oh, I'm real sorry to hear that. Yeah, cheers, buddy. So what can we do you for?
He reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out a photograph of a smiling 9-year-old boy in a local peewee or a little league baseball uniform. You'd say he's probably about 9 years old. He's holding a baseball mitt. So that is Reuben Hall. He disappeared from his bedroom yesterday. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the law, but most kidnappings are custody issues, and a child... somebody breaking into a house to get a kid is actually very, very rare. But that's what it looks like to me. And I don't know. I don't know entirely how familiar you are with kidnapping cases, but after the first 48 hours,
it's concerning.
Well, the first 48 hours are the best opportunity to find the kid.
Yeah.
After that...
it's usually a lost cause.
It's not great.
Well, I mean, you're well-connected with the regular police force. What brings this case to us specifically?
I I had an encounter.
All right.
Or an experience a couple years ago, and I had an opportunity to join this organization because of it, and I did not. I felt like I'm already serving the public by as an officer of the law, and I really didn't need to do that on my off time too.
No, that's a fair point. This job is horrible. I mean, not like it's not, you know, entertaining at times, but we see some shit, detective.
Yeah, well,
not to say you don't.
No, you're right.
We all see some shit.
But I will say that you know that feeling that you get when you walk into a place and that weirdness happens and like it, the way that it feels is just off.
Like it's clutching you from the insides?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's the feeling that I got when I walked into that house today.
Oh, okay. So I think it might be like a house-based specter.
I don't know
like
what sort of creature or anything or ghost or whatever. I just know that something unnatural is involved with this, and that is out of my expertise. And you or your organization are the people that deal with that sort of stuff.
Yeah, sounds about like something we do. All right. Come on upstairs. I'll introduce you.
All right. So, we cut to the... do you guys have a specific meeting space for, like, you know, once they pass the initial...
Probably the library.
Oh, is it the library?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, it's the library.
Bunch of comfy chairs make everyone feel a little bit at ease. Big fireplace.
Yeah.
Nice and warm
like
and
that.
Cozy.
So, we cut to... You meeting Detective Pagan, and he goes into more detail of the details that about the case. Reuben Hall lives in a house in Menominee Falls with his father Noah, his mother Janet, and he's reading off of his basically like his little cop notepad.
His little dossier.
His father Noah, his mother Janet, and his little sister Bella. He went to bed on the night of August 19th at about 10 p.m. And then his parents noticed that he was missing at approximately 10:30 a.m. this morning.
Sure, it's already 12 hours.
I'm sorry, what was the father's name?
The father's name is Noah. There's no sign of violence or struggle in the room. We talked to all the extended family for the halls, and they're all accounted for. None of them have seen Reuben. There are no offenders living in the immediate area that might have taken him. He has a number of friends in the neighborhood, but none of them know where he is, nor have they received any messages online or via the phone from him since the evening of the 19th. I was telling Mr. Forrest that I decided to contact your organization because when I went into his bedroom, I felt cold. Not because the air conditioning was too high. It was that feeling that you.
Is that clenching you from the insides? The clench. Why? we're literally having a meeting. We ain't fighting nobody.
It's important.
Every second of every day. Okay, where's my scotch?
So what signs of breaking and entry were there?
Well, the window wasn't damaged, but as far as they knew, that the window had never been opened at all, and to open it would have required that's one of the weird things here,
some use of force?
It would have required some effort and strength to open, and with the amount that it would have required... Nobody or somebody would have heard something. And
is this the first floor bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you said the kid's about 9. Does he, I mean, you know, kids these days, does he have a cell phone?
He does, but he's not made any contacts.
So his phone is also missing with him. Or was it?
We didn't find anything, so we assumed that he took it.
Is it trackable?
I can try.
We can certainly try.
Yeah, for all of her non-camera business, she's actually real good with electronics and internet devices. I don't know what you do.
I don't actually know what you do.
Well, what a compliment.
I hack things. I find stuff.
Is there any chance that the kid could have left on its own accord? Out, like, at, you know, the front or back door?
I don't know.
Is the kid known to maybe run away, or does he have anywhere he usually goes?
Not from what I was able to pull from the parents. I mean, right now they're basically... a lot of times what we do in these cases is... really, it's more to keep the parents occupied. But we asked them to just make lists of people who've been to the house and things like that. So they would probably have a better grasp of his habits directly. I mean, I'm assuming that you're going to talk to them.
Yeah,
that's not too much of an interference?
No, I mean, I can definitely kind of vouch for you and I'm assuming that you've been trained by SAVE to be able to talk to these people in a, you know, professional and relaxed manner.
Yeah, yes we have. We sure have.
So as long as we just, you know, say that you're outside consultants that, you know, we've worked with before.
We could pretend to be psychics.
Can we not?
You don't need to come up with some elaborate backstory. I would prefer, actually, to be honest, I would prefer if you didn't tell them that you were psychics.
Okay. Family. Speaking of the family... they treat their kids right?
We don't have any record of any...
incidents at the home?
Domestics or anything like that.
Alright, that's good.
Did the little sister hear anything?
She really wasn't... nothing, she didn't hear anything from the reports that I read.
You know, maybe if it's a specter, children see specters... and adults don't, and then they feel too scared to tell the parent because the parent don't believe them. We should ask the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, let's get this thing on the road.
All right, so you head out in the whatever your choice of save mobile is to Menominee Falls.
Did we ever discuss the save mobile?
No.
I got a pickup. Y'all can ride in the cab.
No.
Fine, you can ride in the truck, Ben. I don't give a shit.
We'll think on that
one. We all have each individual mopeds.
We're a moped gang.
Let's ride!
Do I look like somebody who knows how to ride a moped?
Yeah.
To you?
Yeah.
You could have a motorcycle instead.
Alright, that's acceptable.
A motorcycle moped.
Okay, so after the 3 days it takes you to get from Milwaukee to Menominee Falls on the moped, there's a montage of the four of you, people just blowing past you on the highway.
I got an 87 Honda Spree.
So we cut to the Hall residence, and it's in one of those very manicured cul-de-sac kind
fancy
of
fancy people,
bougie ass neighborhoods.
To use a technical term, but yes,
fancy people houses.
So
the homes are newer.
Yeah, these homes are newer. Yeah.
Okay. Makes a difference.
That's odd.
Yeah.
And there's actually still a Menominee Falls like police car kind of parked out front, and because of that, you definitely can, as you're walking in, you definitely get that feeling that the neighbors are all like,
mm-hmm.
"Oh, I know." And when you arrive at the Hall residence, there are a pair of uniformed officers that are sort of kind of hanging out in the hallway. Like, you definitely get the feeling they're sort of like, I don't know what we're doing here, but we can't really say anything because, you know, like, you know, with this being the type of case that it is, they don't want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, freak people out. And then there are then you've got the two parents who are sitting in the dining room area, and they've got papers just scattered all over the dining room, and they both have these big legal these big yellow legal pads that they're, you know, frantically writing on. And Detective Hagen introduces you to Noah and Janet, the mother and the father. Bella is in her room coloring. And Noah is kind of is sipping his coffee, and he's just sort of staring at the cup. And Janet has an action figure in her hand that she's just kind of rubbing over and over and over, and then she thinks of something and puts it down, and scribbles down another name, a few more names, and then sat down, picks up the toy, and starts rubbing it again. So what do you do?
I walk up to Noah, and I go, Noah, right?
Yes.
Hello. I'm with a group of psychics. We have come to help.
You are an asshole. ASS hole.
Officers, could you deal with her, please? I'm sorry for...
Don goes and kind of stops the officers and just kind of breaks them up. And you see them kind of snickering and laughing. And Don's face gets very red.
We were asked to be here by Officer Hagen, Detective Hagen. I apologize. Could you please tell me what happened, to the best of your knowledge?
While this is going on, can I walk back to the kids' room? And...
Mm-hmm.
I'd like
to which room? To Ruben's room or to Bella's room?
Ruben's.
Bella's.
Oh, I would like to go to Ruben's room with Zisu, my beagle.
Okay.
And sense some unknown.
Okay.
I'll make sure this asshole doesn't do anything stupid.
Yeah.
So you're going to hang out with him?
Can we assume we've gotten permission to, like...
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's go to... Let's start with Clark, then. So you wander into Ruben's room. It's basically what you'd expect a 9-year-old boy's room to look like. It's messy, but... There's not, like, any signs of a struggle or any, like, you know, kind of violence. Do you want to give me... So, now, when you sense the unknown... So, the envoys here have each had an encounter with the unknown, the evil supernatural forces that are in the world. When they also have the ability to sense the unknown, which means that they can make a roll to... basically get a feeling if something spooky has been there. Now, they can either roll it, which there's a small chance they can do it, or We have light tokens and dark tokens that sort of represent the ebb and flow of the light and the dark elements of this horror game. So Clark can actually just choose to flip one of these tokens from light to dark. You'll see that they're indicated on our overlay. And that will let her, the player know whether or not there has been any sort of supernatural incursion. So you can either choose to roll it or you can flip a token.
I do have advantage on that because I've got Zisu the Beagle.
Okay.
So think I'm going to try rolling.
So what does it. What does do you remember what
I believe
has?
It's a plus 10.
Okay. So your sensing the unknown ability roll is actually going to be 40 or less. Mm-hmm. Because you're getting a plus 20 bonus
okay.
to it.
That's I'm going to go for it.
That's doable.
I'm going to use the other dice. These ones
are better. Not one of each.
Yeah. Oh, I rolled a one! Woo!
Whoa!
Bah, 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 bah! I'm starting to feel like Travis McElroy when we stream. Can I just say that? Except I'm not cheating.
Oh, man.
That's
whoa.
A challenge.
Shots
fired.
Shots fired,
yeah.
Yeah, I rolled a one.
Well...
Too much.
The you definitely get that same feeling that Detective Hagen was that he was feeling when he walked in here. Like it you for
is there a distinct chill?
Plug.
Wow.
I'm just gonna bury my face in this.
It does travel up your spine, and the strength of it catches you a little off guard, and you stumble, and you trip over one of the toys that's on the ground, and you actually kind of you stumble into to Ruben's bookshelf, and one of the other action figures that's on the bookshelf falls off. And hits the hardwood floor, but makes no sound when it does so.
If I snap my fingers, can I hear it, or it's...
Not, yeah, you're like, ma, ma, ma. And then you even go over and pick up the figure and drop it and it makes a noise, but just for that second, it was completely quiet.
That's weird. If I check, under the bed and, in the closet, is there anything there?
Do you want to give me an investigation roll?
I got a 30 on that. I wouldn't consider this documentarian, so... Nope. Hey. Nope. 75.
You're rattled enough by the experience that you don't think that,
get out of there pretty quick.
The only Pete, looking around, you definitely don't think that there was a sign of a struggle. And you also are pretty sure that the window, you as you're looking around, you also take a look at the window and you're like, oh, okay. And there is no way that this was it was open from the inside. Just based on the construction of it and the little 9-year-old hands trying to open it. There's no way. No way. Meanwhile, Bella Paul is in her room. She's stretched out on the floor, and she's just coloring away on half a dozen coloring book pages and just sort of scribbling on one and then going across to a couple of others. There is a dog that is laying next to her, and when you walk in, the dog gets up in a defensive stance and growls at you. What do you do?
Can I see what she's coloring?
It's just some cartoon character pages.
It's nothing like creepy child coloring?
No, devil faces or anything like that.
Fairly should get a check out for
Yeah.
I guess I would like to be like, hey, Bella, the detectives sent me here to discuss with you about some stuff. Is there any way I can come chat with you without being bit?
Lady, be nice. And lady is like, and then sets down in that sort of, well, fine then way that dogs often do. Yeah, you can talk to me. I mean, if you're a policeman, are you a policeman?
I am not. I'm who policemen call when they can't. Have you ever seen Ghostbusters or Supernatural?
No, those are too scary. My mom won't let me see those.
Okay. Well, when policemen think there might be something that most adults don't understand going on, they tend to call me in to come in. Like, with, you know, ghosts or magical entities and that kind of stuff.
Give me a...
You just terrified this child for life.
I don't think so.
Give me an interview roll here. Take a minus 10 penalty.
Nice. That would be way off.
Oh! Are you here about the monster? She says.
Like, yeah, I am.
Well, I saw a monster when we were coming home from the movies, but nobody believed me.
Well, what did this monster look like?
It was big, and it had a face, and it was hiding behind a tree. But then I think it saw me seeing it, and it went away.
You know if you can draw a picture of it?
Sure, I guess. And she flips over one of the pieces and grabs a couple crayons and starts scribbling. And now we're getting into the creepy drawing phase of the kid interview, because she's just drawing this big black shape with... you're not sure if they're legs or tentacles. And then she draws her mommy and her daddy and her brother and her, and like they're like this big compared to it. Do you want to keep it?
I would love to keep it.
Cut to... so what are you asking the parents?
I ask Noah, do you believe in psychics?
Listen. If you think you can help us find Reuben, I don't care.
I'll ask you one more time. Do you believe in psychics?
You are not a psychic. Stop it.
Silence. Do you believe in psychics?
No, I don't.
They're
good. Good. Because I'm not a psychic. Psychics are bullshit. Everything you hear about this sort of stuff is bullshit. However, in this sort of situation, kids' minds can go real wild. And they can think that they saw something that didn't actually exist. But it can help us to determine what was here. So, as weird as what you think your kids might have seen, what has your children told you that they saw?
Give me an interview check at a minus 10.
A 2.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
They're slinging some rocks tonight.
Hell
here,
yeah.
Folks. It's going to suck when they're going to be rolling 80s when the monster shows up.
Don't say that.
Janet pipes up. Bella says that she saw a monster.
Right. Why do you think she feels like she saw a monster? Did you see a monster?
I didn't see anything.
Well, of course parents don't see the monsters. It's always the children. Duh.
You're the absolute worst.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not the one who came in here pretending to be a psychic and their child is missing.
I came in here to prove the fact that that sort of stuff, the supernatural, is bullshit. We're here to solve an actual crime, but kids under duress can create such things in their minds. By describing those things, we could actually have some real facts here. So if you please.
Oh, if I please.
You southern hick.
I think she, so Janet says, I think she's trying to make sense of her brother being gone, and the only way that she could make sense of that is a monster took him.
Did she ever describe the monster?
No.
No.
When did she first tell you about seeing the monster?
We were on our way home from the movies, and she said she sometimes we'd like to sneak through the backyard, and she said that she saw a monster across the street.
Was your son with you at the time?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, the four of us. We went to go see... we went to go see that live action reproduction of Anchor of My Heart.
Oh, right. Oh. The pirate, the lady pirate.
That is one of my favorites.
This is so inside baseball, folks. It's also kind of a plug for our Feng Shui game, so if you want to go back, watch those 8 hours and then come back and laugh at that joke, feel free to do so.
So your daughter presented the idea of the monster before her brother was missing?
Mm-hmm. So, well, or she, I think she, to be honest, I don't remember.
We understand that you're under a lot of stress and you're very worried for your child. So whatever information you can tell us, we don't want to put you under additional duress.
I appreciate that. It's hard to give. So why don't you give me a interview check there, Billy?
What? Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
So 27. I'm not.
You should have stayed with somebody interviewing people.
Oh, I got a 14.
Hey.
Well, how about that?
Hey.
You know, if you flip one of the chips, you can turn that into a high success and get more information.
I think we should save the chips. Save the chips.
All right.
Save the chips.
I think she told me about the monster because we noticed that Bella was in her room the morning he so she said that he was there to protect her from the monster, and that's when she told us about it.
Oh, all right, I see.
And Bella's a good dog. Sorry. We'll fix that in post, everybody. Lady's a good dog, because she's been with Bella ever since. And that means that's good, because we've been busy with all this, and she gestures to the lists and paperwork. And
where is Lady now?
She's with Bella in her room, probably. You guys want to come back from your...
Yeah, I think at this point I probably would.
Yeah. Well, if I don't think I have any more questions. Do you?
Just where were you when this all happened?
We were in bed. I mean, we woke up in the morning and he was gone.
Right, so no sounds, no smells, nothing.
No.
Okay.
Well, if you do think of anything, give us a call.
Do you or any of the neighbors have security cameras or security systems or
anything like that?
Not out here. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we moved out here.
Because you thought it was safe.
So, what is your
next can we talk outside of the house, not surrounded by people?
Yes. Yeah, we need to go back to
Are you heading back to the haunt?
I would like to stay here.
Okay, but
for
chat.
A sec to chat.
But
chat in private.
Is there a shed in the backyard?
Well, no, you can go back out to like your car area and discuss. Mm-hmm. Are you with or without the Detective Hagen?
With
that. I think.
Oh, fine.
I'd be fine with
I think we'd be fine with, because he might have more insight if something comes up.
That's true.
So, okay. Billy, if you wanted to break into that room without making a single noise or making a mark, what would you do?
Oh, boy, into that room. All right.
Do you want to give me a tradecraft roll? With your, you have larceny as a specialty.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
That's why I asked.
Do it.
21, so that is a high success.
Okay. So I'm assuming that you also took the time to kind of look around and figure out, because since breaking and entering is a vital part of this story, you're like, yes, all right, let's see what the competition is doing. You figure out that,
crap.
Well, the window was open from the outside.
Ask the data question.
And there is no way that a 9-year-old kid could have pulled that thing open. Like, even you probably would have preferred to use like a pry, because that thing was like the house has central air. They never opened it. It was an older house, so that window was maybe not painted shut, but it was stuck. And it would have been, frankly, it would have been easier to just pop the thing with the crowbar rather than pull it open.
Yeah.
Just because, but either way, there was no sound. Like, there's no recollection of, oh, I, because, you know, you pulled it up and it went, Durk! You know, mm-hmm. and there's nothing like that in the reports that you read or that Detective Hagen told you.
Well, with the age of the house, the condition of the paint, and the thickness of the window itself, you can't pop that thing open without making noise. That's just pretty much impossible. You could try something with a chimney, but, you know, that would also make noise unless you're me.
You guys, I gotta say, when I was in there, there was a thing. I knocked a thing off of a shelf, and it didn't make any sound.
What do you mean? Like the thing didn't, as if it was falling through the air?
No, I mean, like, when it hit the ground, there was nothing. About a second later, no problem. I dropped the thing again, and it made noise.
Could I do, like a sort of lore check to see if any of the information with lack of sound, coldness, and also possibly children.
Picture. And it's be like, hand, it might look like this.
Oh, sound vacuum. Okay.
Give me a lore check.
That would be research.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 38 out of 70.
Nice.
Okay.
High success.
So. So you
pause for dramatic effect.
Yeah. No. So you start thinking about potential creatures that might sort of match this description. Monsters turning picking up children from suburbs is very rare, mm-hmm. or are very rare, because people are going to notice that they're missing, and that's so that would immediately flip open the notice of the monster, and you know, people would go looking for it. Mm-hmm. So such creatures generally have a way to cover their tracks, whether it's because they leave the community for a time period, or establishing a basically like a place to hide out and hole up. So
we may want to look at similar disappearances, you know, many moons ago.
Right. Or even locations in the area that are suitable, you know,
dwellings.
Because, like, these houses are new, but even in driving in here, you saw mm-hmm. that there were plenty of houses that had been around for a while. What your lore also tells you that in situations like this, mm-hmm. There is a creature that has kind of been colloquially named by Save as the mean old neighbor lady. That rose out of those stories of, well, don't go into their house because they it's kind of a weird conflagration of the legends of you know, don't go into their yard because you know, if you go into that the mean old neighbor lady's yard, that you'll go for your ball and you never come back. Mm-hmm. And that's also kind of leads back to sort of fairy tales of like Hansel and Gretel and mm-hmm. and the witch's house and things like that. Mm-hmm. Which of those, you know, came first is really kind of a chicken or an egg issue.
Mm-hmm.
But that type of creature does have a tendency to lure children mm-hmm. Into their lairs to do with them as they please.
And you slid me a picture? And the picture was what again?
Just his picture was a big amorphous blob with, like,
things
sticking out of it.
Okay.
Like, basically imagine, like, a kid drawing us like, a tarantula spider. But that doesn't necessarily match what you know about the mean mm-hmm. old neighbor lady.
So, based on... Okay. I can't say what I think it is, right?
Why would I stop you?
Oh, just because maybe it was in the book that I can't... maybe stuff I can't know? Or can I know?
You can say whatever you want.
Based on information...
You're the lore guy. Yeah. Lore it up.
Based on the information given, I believe that maybe what we're dealing with here is a hag.
A giant hag looks like a spider?
Well, there might be more to it than that, but based on the kid might have interpreted a hag differently than it actually is. But so far...
Long nails and shit?
Yeah, basically we're looking for an old decrepit woman who might steal children. Based on the lore and based on the signs and evidence, that's kind of what's matching here. Of course, I could be wrong, but that's where I am at this particular moment.
Is this the kind of research I could do on my phone to try to find, like, old news reports?
I would let you do that, but you would probably do it at with a negative modifier.
Okay.
It might be better if you actually either went to a library or an actual hard thing.
Okay.
I will also let everybody know that sundown is approaching, so I don't know if that is going to affect what your next move is.
Okay.
We should hit the old research pile. I don't think we know enough about this thing to kill it.
I'm sure the cops have already done it, but I want to look up the kid's phone a little bit, too, see if I can find anything weird on there.
So,
pings head back cell to towers.
Is there anybody else worried about more kids in this neighborhood going missing?
Yes.
I would think if she's got one kid right now, if it's a hag.
Is there any way I could do... I would like to look up history of the area.
Probably not here.
Right, but when we... Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we ask Detective to have some of his cop buddies just kind of stay in the area overnight?
I'm sure they already will.
Yeah. All right. And they'll call us, of course, if there is a visible or audible incident.
Or inaudible.
All right, fine. Or inaudible incident.
It was weird, man.
Okay. So we're going to do a research month. So it seems like your plan is research montage this evening and then come back tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nate, I want you to give me a research roll on local history.
Let's
It's a, 85. Oof, it's an 85 out of 70.
Okay. So,
You fell asleep.
So that means that you can flip two to keep it a success, or you can just take the basic information that you're able to...
I'll just take the basic information.
Yeah, right. Some dark web shit.
Okay. So, you do find, you do find two other notable disappearances that have occurred in that area.
Mm-hmm.
A young girl named Marie Lasante, who disappeared from her house in 1974, at the age of 9. And a young man named Marvin Stead, who disappeared from his... He was actually attending Whitewater, and he disappeared when he... He came home and then disappeared again while he was at home.
So what, an older...
Yeah, what year...
That was in 1987.
Must be a young-looking kid.
13 years after 80s. Okay.
You also do discover Marie Lasante's address, which is in the surrounding area of the disappearance of where the Halls live.
The Menominee Falls.
Well, but in that neighborhood.
Oh, in the specifics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were you looking up?
Yeah, I was going to do some research just on the dark web, like if I can find any weird details about the disappearances, and then also I want to, like, ping the kid's cell phone and see if I can come up with anything there.
Okay. So give me a... give me a...
dark web?
Yeah.
73 out of 90.
Okay. That's interesting. So let me look something up for you. Please hold.
While we're on hold, mm-hmm. Challenge for our viewers. Your dog Zizu is a beagle?
Yes.
Viewers, if you can find a great picture from the internet of Zizu the beagle, we would appreciate seeing what our dog looks like.
He's real cute, so make it happen.
Yeah.
Because Danielle has never seen a beagle before.
We gotta have, like, a specific beagle. They have different markings and stuff. Come on.
Yeah, they do. They have... Look at the little floppy ears. They're so cute.
I probably knit him a little red Zizu hat. Come on. Right? Someone find me a picture of a beagle with a little red Zizu hat. No, that's it.
That's all we want.
Yep.
So. Here's something weird that happens. You do get a ping on the cell phone, and it is within that area. But before you can show it to the rest of the envoys, it disappears.
Do I have, like, a general idea, though?
It's definitely in the neighborhood.
Okay.
But, like, you're like, okay, well, let's overlay it on, you know, Google Maps, and it's gone. And, like, you reload the page, and it just gives you a 404. When you went to Bitcoin dot cell phone ping dot whatever.
Yeah. Damn. Okay. And then if I try to see if there's any, like, weird murmurings about these other disappearances?
Give me another research roll on that one. But this is not a dark web one.
59 on 90.
Okay.
For non-dark web?
Oh, non-dark web. 59 on 75. Sorry.
Okay.
Still good.
Still good. So what you can tell about Marie Lasante's disappearance is that there was a missing persons report from 1974. The report is dated August 20th, 1974.
Oh. That's the same date.
Yep. No investigation apparently was ever conducted, and there was no follow-up.
He was found missing on the 20th.
Okay. Yeah.
What about, is the other kid also on the 20th?
No.
Okay. Is it at least August? Might be not connected. It could have
It's actually, it looks like he disappeared in June.
Okay.
You also find an article from the Milwaukee Sentinel that Marie Lasante's mother was committed to a psychiatric institution in 1976, and that she died in 1990.
Is there a record of what she was in for? Okay.
It's not something we could go to the psych ward and get?
No.
Okay.
Well, you would have to go back probably to Detective Hagen and ask him to do it. Like, you guys don't have the authority to do that. But you could do that in the morning if you wanted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is that what you want to do first thing in the morning then?
Was there any other research for the montage?
Could I do, like, any research just to, kind of follow up with my hag, theory and see if maybe any lore about hags kind of meshes?
Your theory, I mean, that's your theory until you get more information, probably
okay.
not.
All right.
What about, Eleanor Henry's journals?
Ooh. That's a callback, folks. Tell
Can
you
we
what.
We check around, like, the date?
Well, what I'll do, or if you guys want to use Eleanor's journals, the way that I think I'll do that is when you make a research roll, if you tell me that you're using her journals, you'll get a bonus to that roll.
Okay.
But I don't think that she has anything
okay.
new that you wouldn't have already pulled
okay.
up. But cool. in the future, we yeah. want to do that. That's
nice. Callback. Boom!
Bing. We have found a magic item.
Callback counter. Bing!
Can I Google image search and try to find something similar to this weird monster? Because I have no research.
I'm sleeping. I'm not doing research.
Oh yeah, you can Google hag and you find all sorts of cool.
No, the reverse
no,
image search
for the like image that the kid drew. Like try to
oh.
type descriptors in.
No, you can do a reverse image search.
There's a lot of adult anime that you find that is.
He comes back. We're looking for something with a lot of tentacles, I guess.
And also, it's really into girls in sailor costumes.
Yeah, I don't know.
You college kids and your weird shit.
Alright. I think that's all the research we can do.
You researched right. hentai. Well
so,
done.
So, where do you...
And we've gotten to porn.
And we just put in a call to Captain Hagen and say, hey, can you pull these records and
uh-huh.
send them our way?
Okay.
Rather
so,
than, like, spending time on it. Cause,
okay. Agreed.
So, first thing in the morning,
I said Captain, I meant Detective.
Yeah. So, you call Detective Hagen. And you get, you know, Menominee Falls Police Force.
Hi, can I speak with Detective Hagen?
Yeah, sure. I think Don just walked in the door. Hold on.
Why am I the one making phone calls?
I don't know, because you always...
You picked up the phone.
I mean, that's what you did. She's right.
This is Don Hagen.
Hi, Clark. Clark Ashley from the,
Uh-huh.
Hi, We were wondering if you could put in a check on the mother of a Marie Lasante. She went missing in 1974, and the mother,
uh-huh.
She
was committed to the
psychiatric ward
in 1976.
Okay, and what is this in regards to?
Marie went missing. Yes, 1974, on the same date.
Yeah,
as Reuben Hall.
Who?
Pardon?
Can I have?
And that is where we will take our first commercial break.
What
as
the shit, Rob?
The as the unknown becomes aware of the presence of the investigator.
Son of a bitch!
Pardon. Shit.
Why don't the police remember our team? Will they be able to find out what happened to Reuben or Marie? Find out next time as Theater of the Mind Players presents Chill. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of Chill from Garbling Door Games.
If you liked what you heard, please seek us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and or Twitch. Links can be found in our episode description. Please, please, please also subscribe, rate, and share wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us out, and we truly appreciate it.
If you're a fan of the current MCU films, Teen Titans, Spider-Man, Batman, what have you, you're in luck. We're playing Masks, a superhero-themed RPG by Magpie Games, and we're live-streaming it January 16th, every other Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Central. We're having giveaways, and we have cool artwork that was given to us, so please, please tune in.
The music you heard tonight was Hell Loop Ween by Lemon Yellow Haze from the album Ghost Notes. The link will also be found in our episode description.
Join us next time for a podcast and chill.
Or a podcast about chill.
Because, do you get it? Because the game is called Chill.
That was supposed to be a funny joke, but we're not hip.
Nope.